What's up? It's your boy, The Ted Smith from The Men's Room. And did you know I have a podcast? Well, I do. The Podcast. New episodes uploaded every Wednesday on the Odyssey app.
Unfortunately, what you're about to hear is real. The members of this radio program are simply not that bright, or what some people would call educated. They are merely stupid. They're not trying to offend anyone on purpose. And all have played doctors on TV. You have been warned and are cordially invited to join the party. This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. You know what they say, shake your radio more than three times, and you're playing with it. You're listening to the Men's Room.
Hola, Nicola.
And away we go. Welcome to season 19, episode number 4081. Along with Steve the Thrill Hill, the Ted Smith,
woo!
And my car,
Montgomery!
Thank you. Hard to Men's Row. On tap today, it's an opening weekend of baseball inspired. Bad Choice Friday. The return of Ted versus the FCC. Plus headlines, a Men's Room shot of the day, fun with listener emails, and everyone's favorite, TV Time with Ted.
Click, clack.
Drink! Get you drunk. All right, here we go. A violence intervention training graduate is proud to be arrested twice in 30 days. Meanwhile, a athletic trainer sets a world record, but his thighs and butt are ablaze. To South Wales, where $2 billion in Bitcoin is hiding under a pile of trash. If you veer off the trail at One California Park, your life could end in a flash. Yeah. And a woman could go to jail for 7 years because of tomato puree. That is all coming on today's very special episode of The Men's Room.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, there are a million reasons why you might find yourself face-to-face with the police. Now, sometimes you call them. A woman in Florida, she actually got arrested for calling the cops, mostly because she called them 11,000 times. 11,000. And she did that while she was out on bond for having done the same thing the year earlier. Then there's a guy in Georgia. He called the cops, but he only called them once. But he called them because his McDonald's French fries were cold. That's not even the dumbest part of this idiot story. He called the cops over cold fries while simultaneously being a murder suspect on the run from the very cops he called. I think you can figure out how his story ended. Anyway, do your best to never be that stupid. Now, other times, you don't need to call the cops. They'll come to you, like, say, if you lead them on a high-speed chase. That was the case in California earlier this week. The cops were shocked to discover that the driver was, well, a 9-year-old who was running late for school. And in Florida, a 10-year-old, he was not late for school, but that's where he was arrested because he was selling a gun, and he had over 2.5 ounces of weed on him. 10 years old. Oh, by the way, that kid, his mother is a cop. And then we have a guy who's been arrested 3 times in the last 13 years. His crime? Well, nothing, but he has the misfortune of sharing his name with a notorious criminal. So like we said, there's a million reasons why you might find yourself face-to-face with the police. And that's what brings us to today's question. Why were you talking to the cops? Or why were the cops talking to you?
To be a part of the big show, call 206-803-ROCK. You can like the Men's Room on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live, and send your emails to themensroom at KISW.com.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9. KISW.
Hold the toes, away we go. Welcome to season 19, episode number 4081. What a large and in charge program we have for you today on this beautiful sunny Friday afternoon.
Ah, yes!
It is a big, large, and in charge positive Friday program today.
Damn right.
Honest to God, why would I lie to you?
Because you're a liar, Miles.
The return of Ted versus the FCC is coming up. Man, we had a late night last night, but lo and behold, came in early today. Wouldn't you know it, there is a listener submitted. Ted versus the FCC.
I'll be damned.
And as you know, the listener always comes first. On Ted versus
On Ted versus
FCC. That's great. Oh, what else do we have for you today? Some updated listings on our Men's Room IPA from Black Raven Brewing. If you went to the ballgame last night, hopefully you were able to find us on the third base line in the club section or up in the 300 level, as we have two locations now. So we'll get those back out if you happen to be going to the game over the weekend.
Look for VD.
Also, yeah, he's going.
Austin on Twitter, he tweeted out a picture of him sitting up in the 300 level with one of them right there last night.
Okay, very cool. And if you have not had a chance to try the new Men's Room IPA from Black Raven, we have a very special announcement coming up today at 4:30.
Correct.
We're thinking about having a little, another maybe little party, so to speak.
Well, why not?
Part of the Men's Room World Tour. So that announcement
2024
is coming up for you at 4:30, right before Ted versus the FCC. Of course, we will drink and toast in the weekend with a shot of the day that it is a bad choice Friday.
You know it's bad.
Jam on!
And today, it's a opening weekend of baseball-inspired Bad Choice Friday, so why not some John Fogerty?
Put me in cold, I'm ready to play today. Put me in cold, I'm ready to play
today. I'll never know if he has a good voice or not.
It's John Fogerty.
Yeah, I mean, it's very distinct. And I just, I'm like, do I like this voice? Do I not like this voice?
I like it.
For my entire life, well, I'll put it, he sings the right songs for the voice he
has. Within the range he has, he can still do all the songs. So he's never gotten too crazy with it.
Sure.
I mean, there's no song where like, oh, John can't hit that anymore. You know, he's pretty well.
It's the Anthony Kiedis method.
Yeah.
Like, sing one way. I want to say Eddie Vedder, Anthony Kiedis. Like, there's no screeching. There's no, like, look, man. This
but Eddie can hit some notes. I don't think John could get too much out of his way. Instead of like,
right.
He's not really getting too crazy. John Fogerty in center field taking on the boss, Bruce Springsteen.
Glory days. Well, pass you by, glory days. And the work of a young girl's eye, glory days. Glory days.
The song that inspired the character known as Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite. Bruce Springsteen and Glory Days. That's right. Vote for one of those two tunes now if you follow us on Twitter at Men's Room Live. One of those two tunes coming up right after we drink and toast with the shot of the day. What else do we have for you? Oh, by the way, FYI, we have a brand new Appy Hour. Episode number 4 was out this morning.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That is available on the Odyssey app. Here's what you do. Just search for the Men's Room, and you'll find the Men's Room page. All things Men's Room in one location. Subscribe to that page. That way you get the daily download of our show. And then on Friday morning, you'll get our brand new Appy Hour, which is now in a weekly podcast form. So if you can't be there at 6 o'clock the way we did it before, hopefully you'll just be able to download it and listen to it in your leisure time over the weekend. And today we're going to talk about the cops. Hopefully we'll have some cops call the program today as far as experiences they've had. But either way, you have talked to the cops more than likely in your lifetime. They have also come and sometimes wanted to talk to you.
Yeah, I feel it's a very different thing. Like, if I'm speaking to a cop, I need their assistance. If the cop is speaking to me, I'm hoping they don't really know what I did.
This is a case of both scenarios in a weird way. California Highway Patrol had quite the plot twist waiting for them following a short and erratic chase earlier this week. According to the agency, a scene straight out of a movie unfolded about 9:20 in the morning Wednesday morning as an officer came across a Volkswagen stopped oddly in the middle of an intersection. When the officer told the driver of the vehicle to move, he did just that and unexpectedly sped off, sparking a short and erratic chase, which ended in a dirt parking lot nearby. Per the California Highway Patrol, the driver abruptly reversed the vehicle he was driving after coming to a stop, ramming the VW into the patrol car in a moment that could have led to a grave outcome. Now, while both vehicles sustained minor damages, the real plot twist came when officers discovered who was behind the wheel of the runaway sedan.
Mm-hmm.
The driver was a 9-year-old child on a mission to drive himself to school in his mom's car. That's right.
The part I find most amazing is that this kid wanted to get to school, so he stole his own mom's car to get there. Mm-hmm.
A 9-year-old behind the wheel. As they said, another episode of You Can't Make This Up. The child allegedly took his mom's car for a spin, but this was not a joyride, as he said he intended to drive himself to school. The authorities said the boy was safely sent to school after the necessary authorities were alerted and the situation was documented.
That's what happens when you're nine, kids.
No injuries stem from the incident, but they're using it to highlight the need for awareness around vehicle security and the importance of imparting road safety knowledge to our younger generation. Also, they said they were hoping it was a wake-up call to parents to secure your vehicles and educate children on driving and safety. Speaking with Action News Now, Officer Terry Dunn said the incident, kind of one of those moments where no one really believed it, leading to several other officers showing up just to see the nine-year-old driving the car. I saw it was a kid. He said, I'm sorry, I'm just trying to get to school.
It was a kid repeatedly apologized. He was very sincere. Dude just wanted to go to school, which is crazy to me.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
My kid would be more likely to steal a car to get out of school and drive his ass home. I cannot imagine my kids going, oh, my God, Dad, I'm running late for school. Please, let's hurry.
Yeah, nine-year-old, I'm thinking they're going to McDonald's, Chuck E. Cheese.
Anything. Stole car, joyride, not like, I really wanted to get to school.
You wonder, situationally, did the kid miss the bus? Maybe his mom goes to work earlier. There's nobody there. And for whatever reason, he wasn't able to get there.
So. He was late, and according to his grandmother, he was getting impatient. The mom was going to take him to school, but she went like to the bathroom or something. And kid was just like, I can't wait anymore. And that's when he jumped in the car, took off, and drove his ass to school.
Boy, I'll tell you what. I remember those days growing up, but it was always like a Little League game or a play or a football game or something that I was a part of. And the game would start, I don't know, let's say 2 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. It's 1:45. I'm like, Mom, we need to leave now, please. I just want to be...
I felt that way about sports stuff, not about school.
Not about school, dude.
Anything else that I wanted to do. It was very, very important. And, I mean, she took it up to the line. She was one of those procrastinators. Like, it only takes 7 minutes to get there. I'm like, no, it's across town.
Right.
It's across town. Like, I need to warm up. Like,
sure.
We'll be there on time. They'll wait for you. They're not waiting for me.
They're not going to wait for
right,
you.
Right, exactly.
I love my mom. But you're right. Some of those Saturday mornings, especially like you're playing freshman or JV football. But then after practice, you're sitting there dripping sweat. It's like 11:30. Like, come on, Mom.
Hurry up.
Pick me up late again.
Well, yes. I need a shower.
Then we have the story as we head to Florida of a St. Petersburg woman who
somebody points out it might have been a field trip day. That does change everything. Like, I was dying to go to school, but it's like, hey, man, you know, I'm in what, third, fourth grade? I guess 9 years old, and we're going to the zoo today. Like, I need to be there.
I didn't care what it was. I didn't care if it was we're going to the symphony.
Did you guys go to the symphony?
Yeah. It did not matter. I did not care.
The only one that pissed me off, because you're right. I mean, like, a field trip, it's always going to be a good time. You can cut up a little more. But they took us to see the Nutcracker. And I was probably about 9 years old when we went. And I was excited to go.
That would be the only acceptable time in my life where that would be okay.
Well, I didn't know what it was, but you always heard about it. It reeks of Christmas. So I'm like, you know, kids are pretty positive around Christmas time. And I remember we went there, and I'm watching this thing. And I would have rather been in class. I'm like, this is the most atrocious thing I've seen in my life, and I don't understand what's happening.
Now, here's someone who wants to talk to the cops. A St. Petersburg woman made thousands of harassing phone calls to the St. Petersburg Police Department and says, quote, I love playing this game. Police said the 50-year-old named Carla Jefferson continuously called the police department's emergency communication center to harass, belittle, swear, argue with, and demand that officers come to her home to arrest her. Now, when officers arrived at her home, she ran inside and refused to answer the door.
How did she belittle? Hey, piggy.
Doesn't really get into anything. Jefferson had given officers the middle finger in the past and screamed at them through her windows. The criminal complaint said Jefferson called the communication center.
Look, you shouldn't do it. That's just so badass crazy that I'm laughing.
Called the cops to your home just so you could flip them off through the window.
In 1 24-hour period. From July 2nd to July 3rd, she called the center 512 times. Jeez. Again, 512 times in 24 hours. She allegedly made the calls solely to annoy, abuse, threaten, or harass the people she spoke to over the phone. Officers said that through the year 2022 alone, that Jefferson called the St. Petersburg Police Department over 11,000 times while she was out on bond for the same offense made earlier in the year. Now, she was issued a letter from the department informing her that her actions would result in prosecution. They said as a criminal complaint was drafted, Jefferson called back and told the officers to come arrest her. And she loves playing this game.
And then they finally did.
Our question, why were you talking to the cops, or why were the cops talking to you? 206-803-ROCK.
you know, I'm just thinking about this woman who called them 11,000 times. And to me, the only thing comparable to that is if you're a parent and the kid's little and it's just dad, 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 dad. I heard you the first time. That is why I'm looking at you. Can you say something other than dad to tell me what you need? Then mom, mom, mom. Look, to me, it's the exact same thing. It's like, it's this lady again. Well, the good news is my kids did not belittle or curse at me. Hello, Rachel. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Okay, so my story takes place almost 25 years ago. I lived in an apartment complex that was actually just across the street from where I worked. And my son, who was 11 or 12 at the time, had rules about calling mom at work.
Mm-hmm.
It must be burning, bleeding, broken, or blue. So those were the rules. I got a call one day. He says, Mom, there are all these army guys dressed all in black. I'm like, what do they want? He says, I don't know, but they're gone now. So I was moderately alarmed and said, okay, lock the door. Don't open it for anybody. I'm on my way home. I get home, and the cops won't let me in the apartment complex. Mildly panicked, I'm like, okay, wait. My son is alone in there. I need to get to him. The officer said, no problem. We'll go to the apartment. We'll bring him out to you.
Great. Well, you told him not to answer the door for anybody.
Right.
And he listened. 10 minutes later, a supervisor came up to me and said, ma'am, we need you to call your son because he won't open the door. So I called him, and about 3 minutes later, here comes my little blonde boy surrounded by like 8 cops in full riot gear, shields and all. And I'm thinking, good God, I am the worst parent on the planet, and tell me that is not Como 4 news overhead, or I'm going to hear about it from my mother.
Yeah, you're worried about your mom.
Well, my kid was surrounded by cops. He was good.
So did you find out what happened with your neighbor?
They were looking for a bank robbery suspect. They didn't find him that night, but they did find him about a week later.
And did he live in that apartment complex, or they just thought that he might be there with a friend?
He stayed there sometimes.
Did you know who this guy was?
I had seen him around, yeah.
Did he seem like a normal dude? I mean, typically when when people do erratic things, there's... Not that there's a look about them, but, you know, when you see people downtown, you know if they're crazy or not.
But
right?
I feel it's a different bank robbers.
They look different than the guy who, you know, does other crimes.
That's what I'm saying. I think a bank robber looks like anybody else because part of your ability to pull off the heist is that you don't set off the alarm as soon as you walk in.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So
it was the late 90s, and he pretty much looked like every other emo kid on the block.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, most people that rob banks look like anybody else because the idea is that you don't distinguish yourself to be recognized.
Back in Baltimore, probably a little before we moved out here, I'm watching the news and they cut in, speaking of the helicopter thing, and it's Channel 11. And they have a police copter, all right?
Right.
That they're kind of following with their own copter.
Sure.
So there's a copter that's doing this perimeter check. It's low to the ground. And PXI, Channel 11, they're shooting all this action that's happening. And I'm looking down at the shot, and I'm like, that's my neighborhood. And then all of a sudden, I mean, low. This state trooper helicopter goes over my house, low. Real low. Spotlights flashing, hitting my apartment. I kind of was in a back area a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're just combing through, you know, the woods and stuff. And I'm like, wow, this is cool. So I had a little door there with a patio where I'd go outside and smoke, but right over to the left was a television. So I'm watching the television, watching the helicopter, and looking up.
Are you trying to get on TV?
Looking at the helicopter, and I'm out there smoking a cigarette. And it was the craziest thing because, I mean, they had basically stopped the helicopter in my area.
Yeah.
So they weren't continuing to comb. And I'm like, all right, man. So what? So then I ran into my kitchen. Like, I grabbed like a steak knife or something.
Just in case.
This guy runs up here.
Just in case.
Man.
You're going to stab him?
Yeah, with a steak knife because I didn't really have anything.
Or get shot by the cops. There he is. He's armed.
Exactly. But it was wild, man. It was like crazy.
I was at a bank once.
By the way,
The news camera capturing you out there smoking a dart with a steak on your plate.
Good look.
Kind of the definition of white trash.
Yeah.
Local man outside of Baltimore ready to defend.
Get him.
Bring the army.
Yeah, right?
Or a T-bone.
I'll stop him, hon.
Why were you talking to the cops, or why were the cops talking to you? 206-803-ROCK.
99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Our question, why were you talking to the cops? Or why were the cops talking to you? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Scott. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hello.
Hola.
Hey, there you are.
There we are.
Hey, well, you want to speak? I want to get you off. Yeah, I talked to the cops a couple times, more than that, you know. We're out here in the sticks, and you get stolen cars dropped and stuff like that. But the one that sticks out is back in 2000, I was on my way to work, and I had to stop parking lot Smoky Point and talk to my dispatcher. And pulled up next to this car, and I just kind of looking out of the corner, you know, talking to her, and see a guy in there. It looks like he slumped forward, and it's like, kind of strange. And I get done, I'm just kept looking over there, and I said, maybe this guy's drunk, maybe he's asleep. So I get done, get out of the car, and walk around to driver's side and tap on the window, and that's when I see the electrical cord wrapped around his neck up through the window, and he's leaning forward into it, tongue's out in black. This man's dead.
Oh, God.
He has hung himself in his car.
How do you do that?
There were probably a pack of cigarette butts, you know, burnt out the window. All of his possessions were in the back of this little car, you know, painting, personal belongings and all that sort of stuff. And I don't know what he did to allow himself to just pass out and fall forward, but, you know, call 911 and they say, should we send an ambulance? Like, tongue's out in black. I don't think that'll help right now.
So you think he did it by accident?
No, he did it on purpose. He had like just one of those brown, you know, two-prong electrical cords, extension cords.
Yeah.
It's wrapped around his neck, and they put the other part in a knot out the window, rolled the window up, and fell forward into it.
Did you have to wait for the cops to get there?
Yeah, I'd wait for the county sheriff to come out. And he was a guy that been in the force for 30 plus years, and he just looked at it and he's just like, that is about the saddest thing he's seen.
Yeah. So I would hope so. I hope that is in fact the saddest thing that you see.
I mean, you have to think he must have taken something, because I would think the natural urge.
Yeah, typically, like I said, like if you're trying to drown yourself, it helps if you can't swim. They said if you know how to swim and you're just going to dive in the ocean, inevitably your body, whether you want to be dead or not, you will go back up to the surface and tread water.
Right? Yeah, the body wants to hold on. I mean, I watched my mom go through hospice and, you know, die of cancer. And it's like, you know, she, you know, that body holds on for a long time, a lot longer than you think. And so to do it to yourself, that's got to be rough. I mean, you've got to be below rock bottom to do that.
Yeah,
I mean, look, I just did it with my dad like a year and a half ago. Like, his brother had to tell him. My brother had to tell him. I had to tell him, right?
Tell him what?
Like,
going to hospital?
Let go, yeah. Right? Because he had been in there for like 2 weeks. It was kind of ironic because he hadn't taken care of himself. And
right.
Like, now you're going to fight? And it's not a conversation you want to have, but he's like losing it. He clearly kind of crossed over, if you want, to the spiritual world.
Sure.
So it's kind of like, just let go. You know what I mean? But it's like, then, like, the next day, he passed away. But it's like, right. I don't know if it was us saying it or his brother, you know, my Uncle Phil saying it.
I think sometimes you need family to tell you, because you think you're fighting, because I'm going to stay here for my family. And it's like, dude, we're watching you suffer. We understand your position. You know, do the thing that you know you need to do.
Right.
You know, we're prepared for this. My grandmother, man. So my grandfather died, all right? They had been married for 60-some years at the point that he died. Broke my grandmother's heart, obviously. All right, so over the course of the next 9 months, she got all of her affairs in order, and she kept telling her children, she has six of them, so telling my mom and all of her siblings, like, hey, after I'm done, keep in mind, there's nothing physically wrong with this woman. She said, when I'm done getting everything in order for you guys, you know, I'm just going to check out. You know, my mom's like, don't say that. So they went down to visit her, and she came out, all the kids are there, and she just said, oh, I wanted you all here. I just wanted to say goodbye. And, like, there's nothing wrong. She went to sleep and did not wake up.
Yeah.
Like, she willed herself to death. Even when they did, like, an autopsy, because my mom's like, she must have taken something, must have done this, right? Doctor's like, there was nothing wrong with her except her broken heart. And wow. She literally got all the affairs in order, gathered all the kids there. We were not there as grandkids, but all of her kids gathered there and just like, just wanted to say goodbye. I'm going to bed. And they're like, man, that's weird. And she did not wake up. I was like, I mean, will be damned.
I was going to say, even on a smaller level, like my buddy Justin that just passed away, like I just saw online, like his cat just died.
Oh, damn.
I know. I'm like, did his cat know?
You think the cat's just like, he ain't coming home.
I guess like his sister took the cat back to North Carolina with her. And I was like, I wonder if the cat was just like,
in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Positive Friday, our question. Positive Friday. Why were you talking to the cops? Or why were the cops talking to you? 206-803-ROCK.
You know, overall, this question doesn't say positive.
No, it doesn't.
But it doesn't have to be negative.
Sorry. It doesn't have to be. I'm just saying that's sometimes in defense of cops, that's why they could be a little salty. Because generally,
it's bad.
Even good people, you don't have an interaction with a cop unless you're doing something bad.
I will say that since we've started doing this show, with the exception of twice, both of those being my wife's fault and her speeding, but all my interactions with cops have been good. Right? Because you, what was the Greenwood parade or whatever it is, right? And they close off this whole street. That night, I'm already in a bad mood. My wife's telling me, hey, meet us at our friend's house who live on the other side of Greenwood. So there's traffic, you can't get through, the parade's actively going, so I can't just cut through. And so I'm just pissing them on and under my breath. I'm walking up the street, and now I'm at the point that I can't cross, and there's like 8 cops there, just kind of monitoring things. And I see this guy turns around and looks at me, and I'm just like, oh, no, man. Well, dude, big fan of the show, blah, blah, blah. Took a couple pictures with him. It was fantastic. I said, can you guys do me a favor? And I know you're not supposed to. Can you, like, stop the parade for 2 seconds just so I can run across the street? And they did.
Nice.
They just kind of put their hands up.
Hold on.
I ran across the street, and then they let the parade go.
They should act like they were chasing you then.
Yeah. Sweet. Oh, that'd have been awesome. Yeah.
Then you guys run after me, and I'll tear off behind the Fred Meyer.
Yeah. Well, ironically, years ago on Ash Wednesday, I was trying to get to church, and I left the show early. Uh-huh. And then a guy I used to know, I'm still friends with him. I'll leave his name out of it, but he was a Seattle PD. And as I left the studio, this cop car comes screaming up, and he's like, get in. He drove me to church.
Are you serious?
Yeah. It's kind of fun. It wasn't that far, but I'll leave his name out of it.
We had Did he flip on the lights?
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. For real?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Why were you talking to the cops, or why were they talking to you? 206-803-ROCK.
That's fantastic.
It was so much fun.
I've been in one police vehicle when they flashed the lights. Also, I was under arrest. That was my experience. Not fun.
I've done a ride-along before. I'm sure we could hook up a ride-along.
Sure.
You also realize when you do a ride-along that, like, it's rare when they're on patrol that you actually get to use the lights. Like, if you're pulling somebody over, but generally those cops are doing, like, traffic duty.
Yeah.
Especially for, like, city cops. But, like, it's got to be, like, a priority call. Like, I was like, a lot of times you're just responding to stuff.
What happens, I'm doing a ride-along, all right? Yeah. And the dispatch comes over. We're the closest car to whatever's going down, but what's going down is bad. You know, it's a bank robbery, it's a hostage situation, shots fired. I mean, do they just, like, push your ass out of the car? Like, hey, man, I'm dropping your ass off here. Because this is real deal stuff. Or do they...
I would think more than likely...
Would they take you to stay in the car?
I think more than likely they drive there because he still has to do his job, him right. or her. And it'd be like, stay in the car. Like, don't get out of the squad car.
Can I touch anything?
No.
All right, say you get out of the vehicle. All right, okay. So
well, cops already get in trouble. They're not going to be like, yo, Thrill, here's a gun.
No. I'm not trying to get involved. But say... That's the situation going down, right? It's a bad thing. And they say, man, you stay in this damn car, which I expect them to say. And they get out there and their gun's drawn or whatever goes down. And then it gets hit with a bullet. Can I use the radio to say officer down?
Yes, right? Absolutely. Yeah. Or you call 911.
Yeah, dude.
What would the cops rather you do? Like grab the radio and say, hey, ma'am, whatever car I'm in, I don't know, but officer down. Or call 911.
Because
that
this?
Seems like a waste of time.
Steve?
Yeah. I mean, what do? You got to grab the radio and say something, right?
Well, do you know the numbers?
No!
Well, see, that's part of it.
I would just say where I'm at, but like, dude, he's been shot. Yeah.
We got a 127 here.
I don't.
Is that the right number?
I don't know. My instinct would be like, I'm in the front seat. That's a very tense situation. Other squad cars are flying up. I don't think I want to touch anything in that car. I just want to sit there and be like, I don't want to get hurt.
I'm with Steve. Grab the radio and just start yelling officer down.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, get him some help. Get some backup out here.
One, do you want to be in the car with all these? Do you want to physically be in this guy's car?
No. They don't want to be outside of the car.
But all these other cops roll up. They don't know that he's doing a ride along. This guy's gone down, and they see your ass. Just, and obviously, I'm not a cop, right? Do they think I'm part of the action going on? This seems like a dangerous situation. I'm using the radio. Hey, two things. One, officer down, and two, there's a brother sitting in the car. Don't do anything stupid.
Some cops got to be listening. Please call in.
Yeah. Yeah, what would you have us do?
Why were you talking to the cops, or why were the cops talking to you? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Jonathan. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, my story is not as sad as the last guy.
Thank you.
So, me and my buddy, we were going up to Anacortes. I think this is like a month ago, give or take. And we were on motorcycles. He's on a smaller bike. I'm on the bigger bike. So, we didn't have our ear comms set up at all. So, he's waving me. What I thought was waving me by, because we communicate with hand signals to do dumb stuff.
Yeah.
So we're going like 80. So I blast past him at like 120, 130. Okay. And then all of a sudden, he catches back up because he's leaving, and he's now.
Once again, bedroom colors. Here are the seven words you can't say on the radio.
Technically,
sucker.
He only said the first three letters of that word.
Just keep those
in mind. You don't need
now
the
K. Back to the program.
How'd you get that far?
Jonathan.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, we get it.
Well, what is he doing? So he makes it to the exit. As I'm looking to go to the exit in my mirrors, I see red and blue lights. I'm like, ah, crap. So State Patrol came up behind me. I park right under the bridge that of the exit that he took. So he left me. He's gone. So I'm like, crap. I just got the bike. Don't have insurance currently. And I'm thinking to my man, how do I get out of this situation? I'm 120. That's a felony. Don't have insurance. So I throw my key on the ground. I'm expecting the worst. Guy comes up. Say, all right, license. Just ask for my license. Doesn't ask for registration. Doesn't ask for insurance at all. Runs my stuff. Comes back 5 minutes later. And he's like, Just slow down.
Okay. That's all he said?
Just slow down. Be careful. Yep.
Did you poop yourself at all? Because like you said, everything's working against you in this case.
That's not what the guy told me in Oregon. He said, here's a ticket for $385.
And then you don't pay it.
Oh, no, I paid it.
Oh, did you?
Well, I'm going back to Oregon.
I understand.
I'm not going to avoid the state. So, yeah.
And I don't know if it's state by state or how it works, but the state of Oregon, they don't let it go. Because, again, my dad did not pay his parking or speeding ticket from probably over 40 years ago. And I want to say about 15 years ago, they lived in Texas. He went to get his license there. And as he says, this woman had fingernails basically of the length of Wolverine. And she's tapping on the computer. He can't see the screen, but he turns in his other license. She pulls up the info, and she's,
well, now this is interesting.
He's like, what's that? And keep in mind, it's not like his Oregon speeding ticket is top of mind for him, because, again, it's been 4 decades. But she goes,
so he doesn't know what's coming.
Nope.
You couldn't possibly be the same Robert Hill that I have up on my screen right here, because that Robert Hill now owes over 6 digits in the speeding violation in the state of Oregon from 1980,
whatever the hell it was. So my dad's like, she's clearly giving him an out. So he's like, no, that would not be me. She's like,
well, that's real good then, because see, I couldn't give you a license. And in fact, by law, I would have to communicate with the state of Oregon for you to clear up whatever it is that you did there, whatever. But that's not you, right? He's like, right. She's like, okay, then, baby.
Yeah. I mean, she was obviously lying, but she's just like, look, man, take care of this.
I would think every state, if you don't pay it, it's there.
I get, but the difference with Oregon, like, they keep adding the charges. And again, this is 40 years later.
If charges are severe enough, they'll extradite you.
I mean, he's got to be getting close, man.
Depending on the...
Seriously.
Could be the amount of the fine. It could be the offense.
At this point,
there's lines drawn, man, where they say, okay, man, we gotta hold you until we figure out what those guys
are. Amount. I mean, it is staggering what he owes. And again, for a speeding ticket, but his theory at the time, we're living in Baltimore, he said, when am I going to be in Oregon again? And then they moved to Seattle for 10 years. So when they finally moved away last year, I said, hey, man, just a reminder, when you get to the Oregon line, please switch seats with mom, because if they pull you, because you're going to speed, because that's how you drive. If they pull you over,
they're going to arrest you.
Yes.
Yep. And he's like, good call.
Why were you talking to the cops, or why were the cops talking to you? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Stan. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
I got a weird one for you guys. So I've been married for 29 years, and I had I still have a sister-in-law that was married to this guy for quite a few years. Very shady. The guy looked like he crawled out from under a bridge, honestly. Didn't trust him much. You know, she was married to him for probably about 8 years, and he was from Wisconsin. So the guy would never hold a job. He had her work. They'd work welfare as much as they could, and they even lived with us for a while. When,
hey, real quick, is that a stereotype of people from Wisconsin?
I was going to say, you know, he's from Wisconsin. He's on welfare. He doesn't work. Drinks beer all day. Yeah, that guy.
You would say the same thing. Big, scraggly beard, you know, unwashed clothes. It was the whole works, man. You would have said the same thing, honestly.
Yeah, Miles. From Wisconsin.
Yeah, Wisconsin. I mean, that's exactly what I thought.
Next time.
I've never been there, but I'm just...
Just say Wisconsin, and we know this guy's a lazy dirtbag.
You learn about a new stereotype every day.
Yes, you do.
I'm going to write that one down. Yeah. Wisconsin, we're dirtbags. Welcome.
So this happened like 2008 in Colorado when we still lived there. We get this phone call that he had been thrown in prison, and we're like... Wait a minute, what the hell, what happened? My sister-in-law had said that, okay, so they had a daughter together, and she was about 4 or 5, and they're at a restaurant. So he got a little rough with her in the restaurant. She was a kid, you know, and he grabs her by the arm and takes her outside, and people saw this happening, so they call the police. Police show up, they take him in to book him, they do a DNA swab, you know, okay, you're getting booked, we're doing all this. It turned out his DNA showed positive for a cold case murder that happened in the early 1970s, and they arrested him and threw him in prison, and they nailed him to that murder that had been sitting there the whole time. So the investigators flew all the way from Wisconsin all the way out to Colorado where we lived to talk to us, because my father-in-law lived with us at the time, and so they came over to talk to my wife and him about, you know, what was going on, how we knew the guy and everything. And my sister-in-law was a little slow. So when they told her this news, she was just like, oh, well, you know, and it kind of took them by shock that she was so unastounded by it. But that's just the way she was. I knew her from how long we'd been married. So it wasn't a surprise to me. But that was the weirdest thing I think has ever happened since we've been married. That was just like, wow, my father or my son, my brother-in-law was sitting here running from state to state, not holding jobs because of what he was had in his past. So that was a...
He wasn't being lazy. Yeah. He just didn't want to be in the system.
Here's the shocking thing. You're living with a murderer.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where I'm going. I mean, I'm not shocked by what he did. The problem was he lived with me.
Right.
I invited him into my home, and he stayed here.
That was the shocking part. You know, I worked, and my wife stayed home with the kids, and so it was... My kids were all young at that time, too, and that was just like, oh, my God, man, what the hell?
Was he lazy because he was a murderer or because he was from Wisconsin? No.
He was a pothead. He was lazy. He just didn't want to do anything. And
except kill people.
Except kill.
Yeah.
I don't do much, but when I do, I kill people.
All in. Go big or go home.
Well, I guess he was tired.
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that's why I didn't want to get a job, man.
Right.
Yeah.
Give up my name, Social Security. And work under the table.
Why were you talking to the cops, or why were the cops talking to you? 206-803-ROCK.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.